So we have learned what happens when color, sound, smell, taste, or tangible is impinged on our senses. We have pointed out that the fact, so the Theravada Abhidhamma, the fact that we are able to cognize the present object is that the process of cognition is interaction of nothing but interaction of nama and rupa. Everything that we can know in this world, the Buddha has specially emphasized, whatever is to be known in this world, whatever is to be cognized in this world, is only nama and rupa. And the process of cognition is nothing else but then the interaction of the nama and rupa. So this interaction of nama and rupa is the, so to say, the essence of our understanding of the interdependent origination. Why everything is interdependent origination? Precisely because everything in the world is interaction of the mind and nama and rupa, and again of nama and rupa itself. So the process of cognition, as we have described it yesterday, is nothing else than again the interaction of mind, nama and rupa. And we have pointed out that the, according to the Theravada tradition, which studies the mental process very minutely, and the study of mental process is the, so to say, as we have emphasized, the very essence of our understanding of the interdependent origination. All the aspects of interdependent origination in the Theravada Buddhism are studied in reference to the process of cognition, because all that we can know in the world is only the mental objects. We cannot know anything else. And the fact that the rupa appears to our mind that the same rupa remains as the object of our mind from the beginning to the end of the process of cognition is, as we have explained yesterday, due to the fact that the impermanence of whatever is interdependent is necessarily impermanent. And the impermanence of rupa is, as we have seen yesterday, is 17 times or 16 times if we take the Ananda Tika, but 17 times is usually accepted, is 17 times slower than the impermanence of the mind. Now, the impermanence of the mind is studied in terms of three moments: the moment of arising. Why do we know that all things in the world are impermanent? Because all things in the world that are arisen in interdependent origination, they have the moment of arising, they have the moment of continuity, and they have the moment of impermanence or moment of destruction. So, everything that exists exists in these three moments of arising, continuity, and destruction. And nama and rupa is, of course, as we have pointed out, is everything that we can experience in this world. Now, the moment of arising, of continuity, and of destruction of the nama dhammas, of the mental factors, is then 17 times faster than in case of rupa. So, if the impermanence of rupa is 17 times slower than the impermanence of mind, what will it mean to us? What does it mean in Abhidhamma? In the mental process, the mind with its mental factors, the nama and the rupa, arise simultaneously. And they come to destruction also simultaneously. So the moment of arising of rupa and the moment of arising of nama is the same. The moment of destruction of the nama and the moment of destruction of the rupa is also the same. But the continuity of nama and rupa makes the whole world of difference. So if in one panchadwara process, in one cognition through the five doors of perception, if the cognition lasts 17 mental moments, that means 17 arisings and distractions of the mind, these are called the kshanas, khana. That means that the continuity of the rupa, 17 multiplied by 3 becomes 51. Then the moment of arising and the moment of distraction is the same. Then what remains is 49. If each moment has three parts, then the continuity of the rupa is 49 moments, 49 sections. That is very long. And the continuity of the mind is very, very short. So short that some Buddhist thinkers maintain that there is actually no continuity between the arising and the distraction. Just like you throw a stone into the sky, then the stone flies up. When it comes to the summit, it does not stay in the summit, as when the power of going up of the stone is exhausted, then it immediately starts falling down. So in this, some Buddhist thinkers think that actually in case of mind, there is no continuity, there is only arising and passing away, because the moment of staying is so short that it virtually does not exist. But the moment of staying of rupa is then relatively to mind very long. Then it will be the 49 sections. So whenever object of the senses appears, it then arises together with the mind. And while mind then goes, now we take for example the chakudvara viti. We have six kinds of viti, six kinds of roads or path of cognition. Which are the six kinds of paths of cognition? The path of cognition through the eyes, chakudvara viti. The path of cognition through the ears, sotadvara viti. The path of cognition through the nose, ghanadvara viti. The path of cognition through the tongue, jihvadvara viti. The path of cognition through the body, kaya dvara viti, and the path of cognition through the mind, mano dvara viti. Now we have pointed out that the if there is a path of cognition going through the eyes, what happens? We count the past bhavanga, atita bhavanga. When the atita bhavanga has passed, there is vibration of the bhavanga. When after vibration of the bhavanga, bhavanga chalana comes, bhavanga upacheda, the cutting off of the bhavanga. The bhavanga has to be cut off, as we have emphasized, in order that the active process of cognition can happen. Without cutting off, the object of bhavanga, no other object can appear. Then when the bhavanga has been cut, and the new object appears, what happens? Panchadvara avajana. The first active mind. This panchadvara avajana as we have pointed out is kriya chitta. That means it happens automatically. It is not a resultant chitta, it is not a wholesome chitta or unwholesome chitta. It happens automatically, no matter whether we like it or not. It just happens when the due to the vibration in the bhavanga object is cut. Then the mind turns towards the object of the five senses through the door of eyes. This panchadvara vajana chitta if we analyze it, it has 10 mental factors. Which are the 10? We have already learned the sabbachitta sadharana, 7 sabbachitta sadharana. I hope you all remember them. Or shall we repeat again? You remember? The student of Abhidhamma, even if he is woken in the midnight, he should immediately start counting all these, which are the sabbachitta sadharana, 7, pakinaka 6, the kusala, niyata kusala 19, then niyata akusala 4, and so on. All these you should slowly start to become familiar with them. So we repeat again sabbachitta sadharana. You also should know the order is very important. Yesterday we have explained this order. It is a desana kamma. We have two ways of teaching, desana kamma and the upapati kamma. This is a desana kamma because they arise at the same moment. But still we count faso first because nothing happens without the contact. If there is no contact between the mind and the object, nothing happens. So faso comes first. And as we have seen, faso is nothing else, is sannipata, is the coming together of the organ of cognition and of the object. The three coming together is faso. So when the faso is there, everything happens. When the faso is not there, nothing can happen. So the most important principle of Abhidhamma is, if you want to study Abhidhamma, if you want to understand Abhidhamma, especially when you go deeper into Abhidhamma, study Patana, the conditions of interdependent arising, you should always contemplate the faso, because ye dhamma nyatabha te dhamma fusitabha. We can only know what we touch. What we do not touch, we cannot know. And the touch is there, but there is no one to touch. Touch is simply the coming together of these three. This you should always keep in mind. Touch is there, but no one who touches. Touch is simply the coming together of mind, of cognition, of the organ, and of the object. That is why, as we have specially emphasized, these mental processes called citta niyama, the laws of the mind, are perfectly selfless processes without any place for any real object and real subject. Real object and a real subject is only our own imposition. What happens is an automatic linking of the dhammas erosion in interdependent origination, pachupana dhammas. Through the pachayas, through the conditions. When there are pachayas, conditions, there have to appear the pachupana dhammas, the phenomena erosion by conditions. No need for any object and subject in the real sense of existence. The object and subject is only interdependence. And the first interdependence that happens is touch. And everything that happens is together with the touch. So touch comes first. After touch, we have pointed out, comes Vedana. Vedana is a reception of the object. When object is received, what happens? The nimitta gahana, the seizing of the sign of the object. There cannot be reception of the object without the seizing of the sign of the object. when there is a ceasing sign of the object, what happened? Cetaita, the act of volition. There cannot be ceasing sign of the object if there is no act of volition. So you have the three most important mental dharmas determining the cognition. They come first and they are so important mental dhammas, so important sankharas, that they become the aggregates of existence. Without them, no existence. These come first because they determine the state of our existence, how we receive the object, how we seize the sign of the object, and what kind of volition is used towards the object. That determines the way how we experience the world, and experiencing the world is life. Then all the other mental dhammas that come, then they participate in the picture of the world that is determined by these three previous dhammas. Then, after Chetana, then comes Samadhi. Samadhi means Sahajatanam Sampindana, the putting together the coexistent mental factors. If the coexistent mental factors are not together, no question of any cognition. Now, in order that this can happen, there has to be some force, some energy to allow these things to happen. This energy we have discussed as Jivita Indriya, the faculty of life. The faculty of life is that which Tesam Dhammanam Pavatana, that which makes these mental dhammas going. We have emphasized that Jivita Indriya, we have two kinds of Jivita Indriya. The Nama Jivita Indriya keeps on going the Namas, and the Rupa Jivita Indriya keeps on going the Rupas. Both are indispensable for the process of cognition. The life of Nama and the life of Rupa happens due to these forces. And then we have discussed the last sabbacitta sadharana, the manasikara. Manasikara, which means literally making in the mind. Manasi, we have discussed locative of manas, in mind, kara, making. Whatever we make in the mind whatever our attention is, there our mind will go. So attention is the chittasa sarana, the act of the power that gives our mind direction. We have compared it with the rudder of the boat. Unless the boat has a rudder, it will flow anywhere so it will not be possible to direct it towards the object. Without direction, the mind will disappear. So this direction is the condition of each and every moment of cognition. If the cognition has no direction, it will not arise. And we have our preliminary for discussing the process of the mind was then the discussion on the manasikara, which is a key term. And we have pointed out that we have three types of manasikara, the manasikara appearing in each and every moment of cognition, then the manasikara as mind, together with its mental factors. And this manasikara as mind is this panchadvara vajana and the manodvara vajana. These are automatic minds whose nature is manasikara, making in the mind. So in the beginning of the panchadvara process, the manasikara is panchadvara vajana. Beginning of the mental process, the manasikara is manodvara vajana. And this panchadvara vajana, this kriya mind, has then these seven, which is manasikara by nature, which is attention by nature, has beside these seven sabbachita sadharanas, what other mental factors does it have? It has vichara. We have to start with vitaka. It has applied thought. Why applied thought is necessary? We have pointed out that which brings our mind to the object is cetana and vitaka. The applied thought and the cetana. Without applied thought and cetana, the mind does not go to the object. In the non-sublime states of mind, in the non-sublime states of mind, where power of concentration is not yet firmly established, the mind has to rely, in order to go to the object, on these two forces, not only on cetana but also on vitaka. Otherwise it will not strike at the object. in the higher states of samadhi, as the mind then does not need anymore this applied thought, it can go to the because of the familiarity and because of the sharpness of concentration. And because of the clear direction, it does not need this vitaka anymore to be propelled towards the object. So there is applied thought, there is a sustained thought, these dhammas we have already discussed. These dhammas, they are belong to the group of dhammas called pakinakas. Pakinaka means scattered. The sabbacitta sadharanas, we have seven sabbacitta sadharanas, they are the mental factors common to all cognitions. Then, after them comes the group of pakinakas. Pakinaka, prakirnaka, means the scattered ones. Why scattered? Because they can appear or not appear. In all different jatis, all different kinds of cognition, wholesome, unwholesome, resultant, and automatic. So they are scattered. So, vitaka then is then applied thought. The vichara is a sustained thought. The panchadvara vajana needs these dhammas to be maintained and to be to, as we have pointed out, the applied thought is like planting the mind at the object, abhinirupana. And the vichara is like anchoring the mind at the object. It is the sustained thought is that which does not allow that the mind goes away from the vicinity of the object. So the power we have discussed it, you should remember it by now. The power of leading mind to the object is then applied thought, vitaka. The power of anchoring the mind at the object, not letting it go away from the vicinity of the object, is vichara. Then, in the panchadvara vajana, we have still yet another pakinaka which we have not yet discussed. It is adimokha, adimoksha. Adimoksha is best translated as determination. In order to make object in the mind, which is manasikara, and which is the nature of panchadvara vajana, this power of determination is needed. Otherwise, no clear impression of the object will be made in the mind. As we have pointed out in the Vaibhasika system, for example, this Adimoksha belongs to the Mahabhumika Chaityas. According to the Vaibhasika, it has to appear with each and every moment of cognition. In Theravada, it is not the case. Why? Because the Theravada, they use a different way of analyzing the act of cognition. Act of cognition is a process. Not just as in Vaibhashika, appearing and appearance and disappearance of mind and object in each and every moment of cognition. It is a process of cognition, not a momentary, not just momentary cognition, but this momentary cognition appears in the process in which we find different kinds of mind. This is a peculiarity of the Theravada. And because in Vaibhasika it is, the cognition is just momentary cognition, not analyzed as the process, as we have seen, the life of Rupa is different from the life of Nama. We have nothing of this in the Vaibhasika. Therefore, in order to cognize, they definitely have to use this power of determination. So it becomes the Mahabhumika. But in Theravada, after the Panchadvara Vajana comes the Chakuvijnana. Chakuvijnana is just reflecting the object in the Pasada Rupa. So we don't need a determination for that. We don't need applied thought for that. We don't need sustained thought for that. That is why Adimokha is not present in each and every moment of cognition. And now, what is Adimokha? According to the definition we find in Visuddhimagga, the characteristic of Adimokha, of determination, is Sannithana. Sannithana means conviction. Conviction in regard to the object. Sannithana. Samnishtana. Then how do we taste this mental Dhamma? What is its function? Its function is asampasana, not groping. Sampasati. So that is why it appears, this non-groping of the mind is very important force. So it appears except in the we will learn later this non-groping? What is the opposite of non-groping? The doubt, vichikicca. That is why this mental Dhamma does not appear, we will discuss later. The unwholesome cognitions, in unwholesome cognitions we have eight cognition based in lobha, two cognitions based in dosa, and two cognitions based in moha. So among these two cognitions based in moha, we will find also the vichikicca. And vichikicca, the very character of doubt is what? Non-decisiveness. So sampasana. So this mind, this mental factor cannot appear in doubt, but otherwise it appears in each and every moment of cognition except the eye cognition, ear cognition, and so on. Where, as we have pointed out, the object is just reflected in the sensitivity of the eye, ear, and so on. So it does not need any conviction about the object. Now, how is this mental Dhamma manifested in the mind? By nichaya, by decision about the object. When there is decision about the object, there must be that mind. In doubt, there is no decision about the object, therefore it is lacking. In just seeing, there is no decision about the object, therefore it is lacking, because just seeing is only reflecting like in mirror. So we do not need to be decided about the object. And of course, if we define this mental Dhamma in terms of the four aspects of determination, as is done in the Theravada tradition, to show that it cannot exist by itself, it is a Pachupana Dhamma, it is arisen in interdependent origination, cannot exist by itself. Therefore, its padatthana, its primary cause, is sanniteya dhamma, the phenomena to be convinced about. If there are no phenomena to be convinced about, how can there be conviction? So, after then the interruption of bhavanga, when the object appears at the door, at the eye door of cognition, automatically there is turning towards the object. This is called then Panchadvara Avajana, and this Panchadvara Avajana moment of cognition has 10 mental dhammas beside the cognition itself. So with the vijnana it becomes 11. Without vijnana it becomes 10. Then when the mind through the eye has turned towards the object, then what happens? The moment of chakhu vijnana. Chakhu vijnana means the eye cognition moment. Eye cognition moment is the most rudimentary, not only eye cognition, also ear cognition, nose cognition, tongue cognition, body cognition. This is the most rudimentary mind that exists. It is just reflecting the object in the sensitivity of the organ. And this mind, as we have said, this mind is vipaka citta, resultant mind. Why is it resultant mind? Very important to understand. Why do we have eyes? Why do we have this body? Because of our desire to see in the past life, our tanha in the past life. Now we have the eyes. Once we have the eyes, we have to see. Even the Arahat has to see, Buddha has to see, everybody has to see. But because the Arahat now only sees, but has no clinging to seeing, therefore he is not going to have eyes in the next life. So you should be very clear about that. Always consider it in your mind. The Buddha always advising, just see, just hear, just smell, just taste, just touch, just think. If you do like that, you will get out of the spider net. Yesterday we have discussed the example of the mental processes described either as in simile of the mango eater or the simile of the spider. Why the spider? Well, spider cannot go out of his net. He's caught in his net. raga ratate anupatanti sotam. Makatako eva sayam katam jalam. Etam chitvana vajanti dira anapekhino sabba dukha pahaya. The one who will not have eyes, what is his characteristic? He is anapekhino about the eyes. He has equanimity about the eyes. One who will not hear in the next life, he has equanimity about the ear. One who will not smell in the next life, he has equanimity about the nose. One who will not taste in the next life, he has equanimity about the tongue. One who will not touch in next life, he has equanimity about the touch, the body. One who will not sing in the next life, he has equanimity about the Dhamma Ayatana, about the thoughts. So automatically, whether you like it or not, once the moment of attention has passed, the moment of eye cognition appears. And this moment of eye cognition then appears together with the seven sabba citta sadharana, which we have already discussed. Without them, no cognition can appear whatsoever. But because it is just reflecting the object in the pasada rupa, it does not need any other mental dharma. It does not need to any applied thought, sustained thought, any determination. Just reflect. Normally, when we see a color, what we see by the chakudvara process is only the color, nothing else. After that, as we have said, come innumerable mental processes. I like this color, I don't like this color, this color is different from that color, and so on and so on. All these are the mental processes which we have called anubandhika. So it is very important part also in the vipassana to distinguish between this pure seeing and the many, many mental processes that come after seeing, which contemplate what has been seen. So once the object has been reflected in the sensual object, has been reflected in the sensitivity of the door. This sensitivity of the door, sensual processes, panchadvara processes, as we have pointed out yesterday, in contrast to the mental processes, need two vatus, two bases. The eye cognition needs the hadayavatu base and needs the chakhu vatu base. Without them, it cannot function. So the cognition, the eye cognition runs then from the bhavanga, turns to the object, runs to the eye, and it is here that it is based. In the sensitivity of the eye. But of course it is connected to the mind. Big discussion in the Abhidhamma, in Atasalini sub-commentary. Who sees? Is it the mind who sees, or is it the chakhu which sees? Atasalini, author, the Buddha Gosa, decides that it is a mind which sees. And indeed, the object cannot be reflected in the sensitivity of the eye before the, without the connection, without the touch with the bhavanga. But in contrast to the other moments of cognition, the touch to the object appears in the moment of eye cognition directly in the sensitivity of the eye. The other moments of cognition, then the most important is the mental touch. Then, when the object has been reflected in the sensitivity of the eye, what happens? It is received. Sampatichana. In order to receive the object, how many mental factors does the mind need? Very simple. The same mental factors as it needs to in order to turn to the object. Beside the sabbacitta sadharana, it needs applied thought, sustained thought, and it needs the determination. This is, as we have yesterday talked about the mango, man eating mango example, it is like stretching hand towards the mango, receiving the mango. Then after sampatichana citta, what comes? The santirana citta, the investigating mind. This is like squeezing the mango in the hand. And in order to investigate the object, what the dhammas have to be there? Again, the same dhammas, very simple. The sabbacitta sadharana, vitaka, vichara, adimokha, that's all. We will learn later that these dhammas, they all are ahetuka cittas, without hetu. Hetu, which are the hetus? Six hetus. loba, dosa, moha, alobha, adosa, amoha. Very simple. So these all minds, panchadvara vajana, chakuvinyana, sampatichana, samtirana, all these minds, they are ahetuka chittas. No question of any hetu. But you have to be careful, you have to distinguish very clearly. The panchadvara avajana is ahetuka kiriyachita. The chakuvinyana, sampatichana, samtirana is vipaka ahetuka chitta. Vipaka means resultant. Now still one more name to remember, because I always repeat so that you become familiar with these names. The panchadvara vajana and sampatichana, these two moments of cognition, they are very, very rudimentary. Therefore, they are called manodhatu. They are not developed minds. They are still closely linked to the bhavanga. So, no question of being developed mind. Therefore, they are called manodhatu. In contrast to the other minds, except other cognitions, except the dvipancha vijnana, except the sensual cognition, all these are manovijnana dhatu. So, after the sampatichana, which is manodhatu vipaka, comes manovijnana dhatu vipaka chitta, which is samtirana, investigating the object. And it, very simple, it has the same 10 mental dhammas, but we will learn later. Now I will not give you, because it would become too much. We have 3 kinds of ahetuka chittas, altogether 18 in the Theravada Abhidhamma system. We have akusala vipaka ahetuka chittas, they are 7. We have kusala vipaka ahetuka chittas, they are 8. And we have kriya ahetuka chittas, which are 3. 2 of them you have already learned, the panchadvara vajana and manodvara vajana. So samtirana, just like sampatichana, you have akusala and kusala. And santirana in the kusala group, why the kusala group becomes 8 and the akusala 7? Because in the kusala group you have 2 kinds of santirana. One is if the object is ati itha, if it is extremely desirable, then the investigating consciousness will have piti. if the object is not extremely desirable, just desirable, then it will have not piti, because it has upekha, it has neutral feeling. So there is one exception to the rule of santirna having 10 mental factors, and it is in case of the sapitika santirna, the investigating mind together with piti, together with joy. In that case you will have 11 mental factors plus piti. And piti we have already learned among the jhana angas, so I will not now repeat the piti because we have already learned the character of the piti, endearing, fulfilling. You have already learned, I have already given you. I hope you remember and you are repeating, because you will get more and more information. Then you have to make notes, look in your charts, copy your charts. Now you are having examination, I know, so you are busy doing other things, but from next week I will have to push you a little bit, otherwise you will start confusing things. Now I am not pushing you because I know you have other works to do, but you have requested me to teach you twice from the next week, so I will have to push you a little bit. So now just remember what you can remember, then slowly, slowly you make charts and copy the charts from this book, and you put the things together. When I talk, you can have the chart in front of you, it will become clear. So whether you like it or not, when the moment of investigating has passed, what happens? The votapana mind happens. Votapana means decision. This is citta niyama. Whether you like it or not, it will just keep on happening, and it has been always like this, and it will be always like this as long as we remain in samsara. No way to get out of it. Even in case of Buddha, all Buddha can do is to point out the rules. Now it's for us to learn. So this votapana mind is nothing else. Votapana cognition is nothing else but the manodvara vajana. After the eye has reflected the object, the mind has received the object and investigated the object, it decides about the object. And this decision about the object is the same like manodvara vajana. Why? Because the manasikara, the making in the mind, or attention in that mind, decides whether the javana process of cognition, whether going through the object, whether actual experience of the object, like eating the mango, will be wholesome or unwholesome. If the manasikara in votapana or in manodvara vajana is yoniso manasikara, what means yoniso manasikara? anicca, dukkha, anatta, asubha. This is yoniso manasikara. If it is yoniso manasikara, what will follow is a wholesome, 7 moments of wholesome cognition, which will, the karma will be wholesome karma. If it is the opposite, nicca, sukha, atta, subha, then it will be akusala cognition. According to the Abhidhamma, I do not want to frighten you, but you should be frightened. All the unwholesome cognitions except excitement leads to apaya. If not in this life, sometimes in the future, you never know what happens, what comes. As long as you are not enlightened, it can happen anytime. So you have to be very, very mindful. And all the wholesome cognition then, apaya does not only mean hell. If you are lucky, you will be born as an animal. If you are very lucky, you will be born as this dog which is well taken care of, always getting good food. If you have bad supporting karmas, and if you have not so good karma, you will be born as a dog, stray dog in India, which is a picture of misery itself. In Sri Lanka also, the dogs are not so happy like our white. But in Colombo now also some very happy dogs. But usually it is a picture of misery. If you're not lucky, then you may fall into hell. We never know. As long as you have not realized selflessness, whatever unwholesome karma is there in the active process of cognition you make, it can take you down. So we have to be very, very careful. If you understand Abhidhamma, probably I don't understand myself, so you should not sleep. Okay, so that is about the Votapanna. And Votapanna, because it is a decision, very important part of the process, it needs another mental Dhamma, and it is Virya. In order to decide, in order to use yoniso manasikara or ayoniso manasikara, the mind needs power. The nature of virya is power, utsaha, effort. So the Panchadvara Vajana and Votapanna, and we will see in mental process the also Manodvara Vajana, which is nothing but Votapanna. In order to decide about the object, in addition to Sabhachita Sadharana, to applied thought, sustained thought, and determination, you need effort. The mind needs effort. And the effort of the mind is nothing else but this virya cetasika. In the northern tradition, in Vaibhashika, also in Yogacara, the virya is among the kusala mahabhumikas. Kusala mahabhumikas. It appears in all wholesome cognitions only. In the Theravada classification, it is not the case. It comes under the pakinakas, the scattered . And what is the reason for that? In the northern tradition, among the akusala dhammas, we have a kausidyam, the laziness. And the virya is just the opposite of laziness. According to the northern Abhidhamma, if there is every akusala cognition, every unwholesome cognition has a laziness. No unwholesome cognition without laziness, kausidyam, and without pramada. Pramada means negligence. But in Theravada, the things are different. This Dhamma Virya can exist even in because the analysis of mind is much more detailed. It can exist even in the ahetuka chittas. Therefore, it is placed under the pakinakas, the scattered ones. And what is the characteristic of virya? Usahana. Usahana means making effort. And how do we know it is there in our cognition? What is its function? Sahajatanam upathambana. The establishing in the mind of the mental dhammas arising in the same moment of cognition. So it is like a pillar upholding the mind, not letting it to slack, to sink. That is why it's pachupatthana, its manifestation, is asamsidana, not collapsing. So you should be very careful in meditation, make sure that this mental factor is very prominent. If this mental factor is very prominent, no question of tinamida, the enemy number one of meditators. And what is the padathana, what is the primary cause of this Dhamma? Nothing else but samvega. Without samvega, no question of making any progress whatsoever. Samvigho yoniso padahati. The one who is who has a samvega. How to translate samvega? Bhante? What is it? What is the best? Samvega means the impulse to do something positive. So the votapana, the moment of decision, necessarily needs this impulse to do something. Otherwise, this supporting force, otherwise the cognition will not go beyond. Only when the mind decides, then the active process of cognition happens. The karma then will come. If the mind does not decide, then the karma, how will it come? Oh, we have already surpassed our time and we have not even learned anything much new. But don't worry, I will give you enough in the next week when you have more free time to go through your charts. So just now remember what you can remember, what you can't remember, never mind. And tomorrow we will learn the Manodvara process, and we will learn especially the special Manodvara process of entering the sublime states of mind and also of entering the supermundane cognitions. So much to learn. Be diligent. Apamadena sampade tabbam. Okay, that much. Akasatta chabumattha devanaga mahidika punyang tang anumoditva chiram rakantu loka sasanang. Akasatta chabumattha devanaga mahidika punyang tang anumoditva chiram rakantu desanang. Akasatta chabumattha devanaga mahidika punyang tang anumoditva chiram rakantu tumamparang.
Sehe ich das nicht, dass